Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 26 through 31. There's certain scripture passages that God doesn't let you get away from. And this is one of them. And many times I tell students, I have to remind myself that if I'm in it just to read the words and then get back to my next task, I've missed the whole point of reading God's word. And what I encourage you this morning is to allow yourself to be a kid again. Use your imagination and put yourself into the situation we're about to read, because this is an amazing event that occurred in the early church, and I believe it has practical application for us today. So if you have it, we're going to read this together. I'll lead, that way there's no confusion. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 31, reading out of the New King James Version, says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me?" Let's pray. How can we understand, Lord, what it is that you want to speak to us today through your word unless you guide us? And Holy Spirit, we're so thankful that your presence is here. And Lord, what you've deposited in my heart was for me. And I believe it's for us. So I look at myself first, Lord, say, please, Lord, let me look at my life and see how I need to change, what I need to be doing differently in a way that would honor you. And Lord, that's my prayer, that as I'm speaking, that we as a body would not look at the gentleman with the glasses on, but we would see the Holy Spirit, would see Jesus Christ, his word speaking to us this morning. That you would change lives this morning, and we would take your word and make, it's a living word, and it would become alive in us today and change us forever. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know where this is going, folks, and that's probably a scary place to be. I know what God is, what I'm looking at. I've got the verses all laid out. But this is one of these things that if God tells me to go one way, I'm going to go one way. If I go another way, I go another way. I have no idea. I have some notes down. I prepared. It's not that I'm up here not prepared. But it's just one of those things where we're going to let the Holy Spirit have his way this morning. A few weeks ago, we had a little teaching, and I thought I'd bring back. And just for your knowledge, the seeds are still in here. We talked about the sower and our responsibility as Christians to sow seed. And I'm going to put it on this side so it doesn't knock my earpiece off. And we talked about what we're to do as followers of Christ. We're to sow seed, but that seed is actually a demonstration of who Jesus is, both in action, in deed, and in word, and also in just sharing truth with folks. And I can promise you, those who clean around here, I'm not spreading any seeds today. Right, Ms. Gail? Okay. And as I walked around, I said, we're on a journey. And the journey that God has us on is to follow his lead, to plant seed wherever we go. But one thing that I didn't mention yet was that while we're to scatter seed everywhere, there's one that knows where we need to scatter the seed. And I know that I planted stuff before and it didn't grow what's anything. But when I got instruction and guidance, it would grow. So I want to give you this visual this morning. If you're on a journey, this is what it should look like. We need the support of God in our life, his staff to lean upon, all right? His strength to clear the way. The seeds is our responsibility to scatter God's love where he wants it. But there's something very, very important that some of you may realize. These used to be Walkmen when I was growing up. Anyone remember the Walkmen? Anyone over the age of probably 40 remembers this? But here's the thing. If we're effectively going to be on this journey and do it effectively, we need to be listening to a voice. And I can tell you, I have to take one out because I can't hear. I can tell you that if I have the ear, or I hear the voice of someone tell me where to go, it makes the journey a lot easier. Who has a GPS in? My wife lives and dies by that, and it's helped her out many times, and it tells her where to go. But what we need to do in this journey is be sensitive that we need to be plugged into a voice. And can I tell you this morning, the biggest battle that we have as followers of Christ are the voices that are trying to get in our head, the voices that are trying to get our attention. The voice that we need to listen to is the one of the Holy Spirit, who knows exactly where we need to do, what we need to do, where we need to go. And I'm going to get out of the way here. I apologize for the interference. But I want to keep this visual in front of you this morning. I'm going to just kind of lay it over here. That there are voices trying to compete and trying to tell you and help you in the decision-making process. There is, I've been at the high school as a teacher, and there's not one single class went into that didn't have a student sitting there with earphones in. And the question across my mind is, what are they listening to? Because if they're listening to that, they're not listening to me. I'm the instructor. I have things I want to pour into them. But they choose to be listening to something else. And I think the challenge that we have as followers of Christ is, even though those of us made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, he deposits his Holy Spirit in us to guide us and instruct us in the way of truth. But just because we're saved doesn't mean the stuff that we brought into the relationship has gone away. Those voices are still there. And they are the ones we rely upon for the decisions, whether we want to admit it or not. We take a look and we apply to the situation what we've learned before. But we need to, once we make a decision to follow Jesus Christ, listen to a new voice and allow him to transform us. That we're no longer thinking the way the world would think, but we would listen to the way he would want us to go. Can you wave at me if you understand this? Is this good? And I think the challenge that we have, this is not, like I said, I didn't even plan going this direction, but I'm going this way. It says in Romans 2:2. It says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the... Do you think God could have renewed our mind on his own if he wanted to? He could have. But there's a part that we have to play, and that is that dependence upon him to say, I've got some stinking thinking in here. And I think the reason we're not seeing a lot of breakthrough in the Christian lives, people who claim Jesus is Lord and Savior, and there's no doubt that he is Savior in their life and Lord. But the thing is when they come up with a new situation, if they're not in the Word, if I'm not in the Word, then I have no idea what God wants me to do. So I keep on making the same mistake over and over and over again. If I were to plant seed, for example, and I kept on going to the same place, I'd scatter it, I walk away, come back next year, and nothing's grown. I keep on scattering it. It's like after a while, it's like, what do you expect? But if I have someone tell me exactly where I need to go and what to do, and I listen to that voice and act upon it, it makes a whole lot difference, this relationship with them. Are we together on this? So I want to share with you this morning someone I've just grown to love, and his name is Philip. Philip, we're going to have a little history lesson here with Philip. We're going to go to Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And if you want to keep up, is it okay if we get into a lot of scripture this morning? Okay. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. We're going to be introduced, 1 through 4 and then 5 through 7. We're going to introduce to Philip. Now, this Philip is not one of the original disciples. This is a different Philip. He actually was one of the early followers of Christ. But let's take a look at the scripture. If it's on the screen, guys, we'll read this. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent, and the Greek-speaking believers complained about their Hebrew-speaking believers. This is after the church had formed, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so brothers selected 7 men who are well-respected and full of the Spirit and wisdom. No PowerPoint? It's dead? Okay. We will give them this responsibility. Then the apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Now, if we take a look, the key thing I was going to show you on the screen here is these men were full of the Spirit and wisdom. full of the Spirit and wisdom. And notice how full the Spirit and wisdom are tied together. You can kind of do the opposite. If we're not full of the Spirit, then we are not full of wisdom. And that's huge. But these men knew after prayer and observing that Philip and seven other men, we'll see in Acts chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, Acts 6, 5 through 7, everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit; Philip, the second one identified; Procurius, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These seven were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. So God's message continued to spread, and the number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Philip was one of the seven men chosen by the disciples to wait tables. Here's a man full of spirit and wisdom, and he was asked to be a waiter. Think about that. You would think someone full of the spirit and wisdom would want a more loftier position. But I think there's wisdom in that, that full of the Spirit said, there's a need, I'm going to meet that need. And if God calls me someplace else, I will listen to his voice. Philip, I believe, had his earphones on all the time, and they were connected directly to the Holy Spirit. We learn in Acts 8 that after Stephen is persecuted, Stephen is stoned for his faith, he is the first martyr, that we see a huge dispersion of the believers, okay? Something, it's almost like taking a rock and putting it in the water, and all of a sudden you see the ripples go out. And I believe God used that persecution. I know the enemy wanted to snuff out that early church. Absolutely. He usually goes after the babies. You take a look at Scripture, he goes after the babies. And the church was a baby at that time. And he said, I'm going to squash it. But when he squashed it, he had no idea that that persecution would be God's means of spreading the gospel throughout the world. So never doubt the situation you're going through. It may seem hopeless right now, but it may be the very thing that God will use to bring glory and bring restitution to it. So in Acts chapter 8, we learn that Stephen is stoned. And verses 4 through 8, if you can flip with me, because we don't have the PowerPoint. We have the PowerPoint. God, you are so good. We can look over here, because I love highlight. I work so hard on this. Okay? The word is first, but I love teaching and highlighting things. Does anyone like highlighting stuff when they read? All right, so I've got a few fans here. All right, but the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now, a couple questions have to come up here. Is the significance of Philip going to Samaria. If you are any type of history buff, you realize that the Samaritans were not viewed very kindly by the Jewish people for this reason. They were considered half-breeds. Not of their own doing, because after 722 BC, when the Assyrians took Jerusalem captive, part of the way that they would make their captives submit is they would force them to marry other people outside of their faith, outside of their original country. So what they end up doing is intermarrying with Assyrians and other tribes and whatnot. And the Jewish people view that as being tainted blood, that they were not true followers of God. So you can understand that when Philip goes, it says a lot about his character. Being full of spirit and wisdom, there was no discrimination. Catch that for a moment. Holy Spirit directed him to go to Samaria. And there was no hesitation. He went. And the Samaritans, in turn, were eager. They're eager because someone is actually giving them good news. Someone that should despise them is coming to give them good news and hope. And as a result, miracles followed. I believe God took a look at Philip's heart and said, man, you get it. You got it. And because of that, anything you put your hand to is going to be a miracle. And there was great joy in that city. And I can tell you right now, Westfield is not a city full of joy. And God has placed each of us here, I believe, to be full of the Spirit and of wisdom, to know what it is that when he directs us to go someplace, we can be a place where joy exists because his Holy Spirit is there. Amen? So Philip is just an amazing character. He is very open to the people. And we continue on in Acts chapter 8, 14. How significant this was. This is not any small feat. Because when you get the attention of the national office, you've done something. All right, we're associated with a fellowship here of God. And if you get the notice of the national office, something's going on. They're going to send somebody, right? There's a move of God. There's a revival taking place. They're going to want to find out. Well, guess who the national office was? When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John. They sent the big guns. They said, we got to see what's going on here. And realize Peter had an episode where he was having trouble kind of delineating the Jewish people versus the Gentiles. Who were the ones favored by God? Who were the ones to receive the good news of Jesus Christ? So God uses this opportunity to speak to Peter and John, and they go there and continue at 8:25. And when they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Very significant, because Peter and John now realize that God is at work, not only in the Jewish people, but the Samaritans, and they are now opening up in realizing this gospel is for everybody. Very significant. All because there was a man by the name of Philip who was open to receive all that God had from his spirit and just said, God, you want me to go there? I'm gone. So I believe what happened in this trip is they returned to Jerusalem. Philip's going with them, and you just never know what will happen when God directs your path. You just never know. I'm going to embarrass Liz. I love doing this. Liz is going to get me probably the text message later, I'm sure. You just never know, do you? You just never knew when you went to that youth camp this week what God would do in your life. You just never know. But I'm so thankful that you had the opportunity to go. You just never know. If God says you to go someplace and it doesn't seem right, make sure you're in the Word and make sure that you don't question God, okay? Because he may be setting you up to influence so many different people around you. So this great work was going on in Samaria, and then we get to the verse. Samaria is bursting out. It's not necessarily a mega church, but it is like the biggest move of God since Pentecost. And while Philip comes back to Jerusalem, and I just picture him either reclining or eating. And I'll tell you why. I think he's either reclining or eating lunch, possibly. God speaks to him and says, I want you to leave this amazing ministry that you've started or that I've started through you, and I want to send you to the desert. Doesn't sound like a great promotion, does it? It doesn't make any sense. But we see Philip's character even come out even more. Let's take a look at the next verse, guys. Acts 8, 26 through 30. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Not only has God got Philip's attention by sending an angel of the Lord to him, but he's very, very specific in this case. More specific than we can realize. In fact, if you take a look, let's go to the next set of slides, guys. Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Go ahead and click. Arise. It comes from the Greek word anesthete, which means get up quickly. In other words, that word was usually used if somebody was dead. Like, get up now. Don't delay. Don't pack. Don't do anything. Leave. It's not like a, hey, you want to kind of get going here? It wasn't like a quiet command. He basically said, go. Get up. Spoken to someone who's sitting or lying down. Then we take a look. Go ahead, guys. Toward the south along the road which goes to Jerusalem and Gaza, this is desert. There were two roads to Jerusalem to Gaza. Philip was instructed to take the northern wilderness road. We sometimes realize that God had to tell him, there's one way I want you to go. There's two ways to get there. Anyone that lived at that time knew there were two roads to get to Gaza. And if he said, take the road to Gaza, it wouldn't have been specific enough. He said, take the northern road, the desert road, the one that is paved, which was not the one that was usually used. It's usually the one, if they're going down into Africa, they use the one that was quicker route going down. But they built this road as a shortcut to Gaza. Take a look at the map of Gaza here. It kind of shows you a little bit. I use this without disrespect as a pointer. Jerusalem is right up here. And he had a choice to either take this road, which is a little bit longer, or he had a choice to take this northern road. This was known as the desert road, and many scholars believe that this approximate location, maybe a couple miles outside of Jerusalem, is where he intercepts the Ethiopian eunuch. Very important. Next slide, guys. south. Go back to these guys are doing a great job. Go back to the map. Would you agree that, for the most part, both of these are heading in a south direction? Maybe southeast, but still south. But if you take a look at the Greek here, go back next slide. South, the words they use are kata mesembrion, which means south, but it could also be translated at noontime. So here you are in the middle of a heated day going into the desert. He's saying, I want you to get up at noon from what you're doing, possibly relaxing, reclining, maybe eating. Get up now. Don't do anything but go. Nobody in their right mind would start a journey at noon. So you could translate this with the next slide, guys. Arise and go toward the south at noon along the road which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Notice that God is very specific, but Philip had to be in a position, and I believe God had conditioned him in his time in ministry at Samaria to be very sensitive to these directions. Imagine where you would be if someone spoke to you, but you've got the TV on, or you've got the bills to pay, or you're at work, and it's kind of hard. You've got all these different challenges. We're all there, aren't we? I have to imagine that Philip is an example because he was doing, but he was also had his headset. There was no other voice he was listening to but the Holy Spirit. His mind was renewed. So as we continue on here, we see that this journey continues. And probably the most significant part of this verse is this one right here. So he arose and went. I'd be questioning. I'd be honest with you. I'd be saying, can it wait? Can we go? Maybe it's 6 o'clock. Maybe I can gather some things, maybe some food. If we're honest, we probably would question. But God's word, Luke was a doctor. He was very specific. And if Philip had questioned, Luke would have written that down. Because what he wrote should have held up in a court of law. The Gospels, for just a little bit of background, were written in such a way that they could stand before a court of law. Facts, everything. And what he was said is that he heard it, so he rose and went. Man, to have that faith. I wish I had that faith. He's developing it in all of us. But to have that faith to say, it doesn't make sense, but I'm not going to question, I'm going. So, as we continue on here, Philip doesn't ask God any questions, but at some point on this journey, he runs into a man from the nation of Ethiopia. Zippy, you might know where this country is. I'm just wondering if you might know where that is. It's north of Kenya, right? Now, they border each other. Yeah, that we're going to go there. It's highly unlikely that this man was by himself. Now, we learn a lot about this man in such a short period of time. He's a eunuch, great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians. Candace is not her name. Translation, Candace was the name of the royalties. You could say Queen Candace, but as they translated it, Candace, queen, same thing. And he is in charge of the treasury. Now, here's the thing. He was returning from Jerusalem. We learn here that he was one that was interested in the ways of God. He was not allowed to go into the temple, though. And if he's coming from Ethiopia, we're looking anywhere from 500 to 700-mile trip. So you're looking at a heart of a man who is desperate for God. I believe that there was hope in his heart that he would go to Jerusalem, and he could only go maybe in the nosebleed sections outside, but he went there, and we find out from Scripture that he didn't find what he was looking for. And I believe that's one of the reasons why he took the northern road, because he is holding in his possession a scroll of the book of Isaiah, which was pretty common at that time. He may have purchased it, but in Isaiah, he wanted time on the way back to read. And on a paved road, no one wants to be reading like this, right? So a paved road, and they were going at a pace that Philip could catch up to them. If they're in chariots, they can run pretty fast, but this was something that Philip, by running up, could catch them. And he's, take the next slide, guys. The reason he could not go into the temple was because of the fact he was a eunuch. And I'm going to be very respectful for the young people that are here. But he who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. There is a thing that took place with eunuchs to make them eunuchs that would cause them to be crushed or emasculated. And because of that, they would be upon as defiling the temple. And I have to stop here for a second. There are some people that come into God's house that feel like they're not worthy to come into God's house. I've talked to people that says, you know, I've never stepped foot in a church because I had one bad experience and I don't want to come back. doesn't mean that there's not hope for them, but we need to be sensitive to those folks that feel like, I came for hope, there is no hope. And this is where this eunuch is. We can translate this down here, that in Deuteronomy, one of the laws, he who is a eunuch shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. So even though he knew that he could not enter, he still came, hoping that he would be able to get the hope that he was looking for. As we continue here, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Seems pretty obvious. We realize that he's overtaking it, but this is pretty amazing. If you're the chief officer of the treasury and you're in a caravan, you probably have some armed guards. And you're probably carrying some things with you. You didn't come with all the treasure, but you came with some pretty important things. And the Spirit, Holy Spirit says, you see that Brink's truck up there? I want you to run and overtake it. Philip is amazing to me because he did not question. He didn't walk. He didn't hesitate. There was no fear because he was full of Spirit and the wisdom. And he was full of wisdom knowing that if God told him to do something, he would protect him. That there was a reason for it. So he overtook him. And as he overtook him, he ran and heard the reading of the prophet Isaiah, which was common. People did not read quietly. They would read it out loud. And this is something that I would encourage all of us to do, is when we read our Bibles for devotion, read it out loud. Because faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. We can get it here, but there's something supernatural takes place by getting it in our ears and allowing it to get into our spirit. So this is what the Ethiopian was doing and said, listen, do you understand what you're reading? This blows me away because take a look at how this plays out. He's in Jerusalem, Philip. The eunuch is leaving. They don't know either one exists. But how God orchestrates this whole thing is amazing because Philip had to be walking at a certain pace at a certain time. If he had delayed, he would have missed this opportunity. Why do I say it's a missed opportunity? Because if you open your Bible to Isaiah, there it goes again. Open your book to Isaiah. And I should have had this laid out here. You can tell by my flipping how long Isaiah actually is. It's 66. It's actually, it's a microcosm, actually, of the Bible, if you take a look at it. But 66 books in the Bible, 66, all right? So here's the thing. 66 books, and at the right time, at the right place, he happens upon this next verse. The place in the scripture which he read, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? The perfect timing and obedience of Philip and God orchestrating both the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip to meet when the Ethiopian eunuch is reading about Jesus Christ. He could have landed anywhere. If there was any questioning on Philip's part, he would have missed it. If he didn't run at the speed that God knew he could run, he would have missed it. All this stuff plays, and this is where we take a look at the big picture and go, wow. And it brings us back home to us that when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and say, I want you to go over to this individual and ask them how they're doing. And we're like, I don't know this person. I want to encourage all of us to stay in this word, to be full of the Spirit, and to be obedient, because you just never know what God is trying to do. And I can tell you, I've missed many opportunities. Let me just share a quick story with you where you just never know. My stepfather was here a couple weeks ago. It was a blessing to have my mom here for her celebrating her birthday with our daughter, Taylor. And he and I were just sitting having the same conversation. He's saying, you know, Mark, you couldn't make this up. My mom was married to a great man by the name of Andrew. We named our son after him. And unfortunately, at the age of 46, he developed colon cancer and passed away when I was. But prior to this, he worked at a place for General Motors where he would interact with this man by the name of Doug. And Doug was not a follower of Christ. And nobody would talk to him because he had hair and a ponytail. He would ride around with the motorcycle gangs and all this other stuff. And my dad, I believe full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, saw past that and just encouraged him. And I know one conversation, he basically tried to see where my dad was, how strong he was in his faith, and there were a lot of ladies scantily clothed at work, and he'd walk by as they're eating lunch and say, "Hey, take a look at that lady." And my dad would say, wouldn't even look up, and said, "Why would I when God has given me the best wife I could ever have at home?" And these little seeds that my dad was depositing, not knowing what was going on, Doug began to understand a little bit more about me, about my mom, about Andrew, about Jim, because my dad was open to share with him. There was no ulterior motive here, but it was just a connection that God orchestrated. And if my dad had missed that opportunity and looked at him as some type of reject, he never would have gone to the police department, because my dad was the one that encouraged him to, hey, take that opportunity, get out of here, make something yourself. He became a law enforcement. Several years later, my dad has passed away, and Doug runs into my brother Jim, and long story short, he connects with my mom and realizes that there's a connection there. And my mom, come to find out years later, would need someone to help her. And Doug had a heart for my mom and supported her and loved her and realized that. We sat at the table and says, you know, you just never know, Mark. Nobody would even begin to imagine how this would play out. Those seeds, you never know what God is going to do with them. But if we have other voices speaking to us, or if we're not going into the Word and spending quiet time with God to hear His voice or train ourselves to hear His voice, we may miss opportunities where God wants to use us. So this is a challenge for all of us this morning, is to let's develop hearing God's voice. And a lot of it has to take the stuff out, that the old ways, the old voices, right? So it's pretty amazing how God orchestrated that out. And I wanted to share you that it happens a lot if we allow God to do it. Now, as we continue on here, we know that God orchestrated this whole thing. And the Ethiopian man was heading back home, and God moved Philip away from the mega ministry, the limelight. And he did it all for one person. It speaks of the heart of God. You may be in here this morning thinking, you know, God has spoken to all these other people, but he doesn't even know I exist. You don't know that you're not here because God orchestrated it for you to hear how much he loves you. You just never know. God moved Philip so that one man hungry for God might find the fulfillment of his deepest longings. And I love the twist in the story as we finish up here shortly. Next verse. Now when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing, but Philip was found as Azotus. Two amazing things here. He was willing. The timing was such right that as he received Christ as his Lord and Savior, in the middle of a desert, there's water. Think about this orchestration taking place. Then afterwards, immediately, because of Philip's obedience, I believe God said, man, I could tell him to run 30 miles and he'll get there, but I'm just going to get him quicker because there's a work to be done. He teleports Philip to Azotus, which is modern-day Asdod. Now, Asdod happens to be 30 miles away. That's amazing. Supernatural. The team that went to the Am, I have to encourage you. You saw some amazing things, and God was glorified with what you did. You never know when you're obedient to God when you set yourself up for the supernatural. Philip had no idea that the supernatural would be taking place. The first supernatural act that took place was the life of the Ethiopian eunuch coming to Christ. That's the first miracle, the greatest miracle. The second one is he supernaturally transported so he could continue his work. The other thing that stands out with the previous verse, guys, so the eunuch saw him no more and he went on his way rejoicing. Philip's faith was not in, or excuse me, the Ethiopian eunuch's faith was not in Philip. He went rejoicing because he had the Holy Spirit. I see so many people get saved and say, now I'm connected to a church. And don't get me wrong, it's very important to be assembled together so we can encourage one another. But if we place anything above our relationship with Jesus Christ, it's an idol. Philip very easily could have been his idol. And we live in a society today of idols, don't we? But he said, he didn't sit there and say, hey, we're, he probably said, all right, cool, but I'm whole now. I'm full of hope now. The hope that I was missing, I now have, and he went away rejoicing. It seemed like wherever Philip went, there was rejoicing. There was joy. The question I have for myself is, wherever I walk, is the Spirit so strong in me that there is joy around me? And I can tell you, it's not always. So it means that I still have room for more of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I think if we're honest with each other, we can do that too. This is just encouragement that we need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Next slide, guys. Do you see the distance up there? Go ahead, next one. I didn't quite get the map that had Kenya in it. But am I wrong in saying that Kenya is right here? Right there. This is Kenya. Okay? So this distance from Jerusalem was the distance that was traveled by the Ethiopian eunuch. That was the need. That was how hungry he was for the things of God. God saw his heart and said, I'm going to meet you. I'm going to honor that. But this takes another twist. Ethiopia today, even with its Muslim influence, is about 67 to 70% Christian. How did Ethiopia hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ? One man. I believe one man. Can I prove it? No, but I believe what God was showing in his word, and when he said, you shall go through all the nations, you'll declare the good news in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. He used Philip to touch one man whose mission was to come back to Ethiopia, and he had the ear of the queen. He had the ear of the people. And they probably said, how was your trip? He says, you're not going to believe what happened. I went hopeless, and I came back full of hope. I don't have to worry about the future. And oh, by the way, all my questions were answered. And they were saying, tell us more. Can you see how this could possibly play out? And I believe Kenya was affected as well. I believe this whole region was affected. And I believe with a team that went Roger, and I'm not going to exclude anyone, and with the AMA team, you may think you only had an impact in just one part of Kenya. If it took one man to possibly reach the entire nation of Ethiopia, what could a whole team of people do in Kenya? His Holy Spirit there. You just never know. You just never know. So as we close here, the Ethiopian man was searching for something. But he needed someone to explain to him, to point him in the right direction. And I think if we're honest, we see people like the Ethiopian all around us. Yesterday, Rick can attest to this. I had three individuals that you could tell that had no hope. Although they were doing things, they had no hope. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I had some visitors from Jehovah's Witness come to my door. Can I tell you something? I love those moments. I really do. There was a time in my life when I would shut the door and the blinds and try to hide. But if God is going to bring people to my doorstep where I can share God's love with them, I'm not going to miss that opportunity. And here's the thing. When our friends like that come who do not know Jesus Christ are lost, and we know that they're lost, we are not there to win a debate. We're not there to debate them. What we did is I had a conversation with them. I spoke truth to them, and I listened to them. I explained what I believed, and it got to the point of Jesus Christ, and that's where the rubber met the road. They said, we believe in everything except that Jesus is not God. He is a God. And I said, I respectfully have to ask you, if you get a chance, go to John and go back to the original Greek, and you take a look at the translation where it says, in the beginning was the Word. And we realize that the Word was God, not a God. And how sad it can be that a person could miss heaven just by one letter. However, we built a conversation, and I got their names. I'm not going to share it here, but I told them, please come back. When's the last time you've ever asked a Jehovah's Witness to come back to your house? But here's the difference. Jehovah's Witness, Sumerian, doesn't make any difference to God, nor should it make any difference to us. We should look at it saying, Holy Spirit, give me the words and give me your wisdom to love on them. And I believe that it had a young little boy, his son, in fact, and I had a chance to witness to him. And I don't think they realized I was witnessing to him, but I shared about God's love and how he came and the relationship between Jesus and his father, and that's a big point. And I may do a teaching on this, who knows, about Jehovah's Witnesses. I've got a great friend here. We talk about this. And there's much I need to learn from you, Josh, as well. But in turn, I'm able to help you as well. Isn't that what the body of Christ is all about, to help one another? And it's hard to help one another if we're not assembled together on a regular basis. It's hard to encourage us in our faith if we're not here. And I'm not, please don't hear this the wrong way. Holy Spirit, help me, because I may be stepping into something I shouldn't. I'll speak from my heart. Anytime the church doors are open is an opportunity for me to hear from God. That's how I view it. Not because I have to be here. But if it's open, God may. I don't want to be hearing because I chose to stay home to watch a TV show that a move of God broke out and I missed it. But the same thing holds true for our kids' ministries and our youth ministries on Friday nights. And I know that schedules are crazy, okay? I know it's crazy. Please don't hear my heart. But we have an awesome responsibility for our kids. We have an awesome responsibility for ourselves individually to allow God to speak to us every moment, whether it's our quiet time or our corporate time. God's Spirit is there. And we choose whether or not to enter into that. Are we okay? I'm not stepping on too many toes, am I? I hope not. So here's the thing as we close. We may be in one of three categories this morning. You may be a Philip. And you may be a Philip who is full of the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you are just, you know when the Holy Spirit says turn to the left, turn to the right, turn to the left, you do it. And that's my desire. I can't say that I'm there yet, but you may be there. My prayer for you this morning is that you would continue to seek with him and do not lose that excitement for the things of God and receiving more of his Holy Spirit, because God is setting you up for something big. Never take God's Spirit for granted. We need to continue to seek him. We may get to a full level. It doesn't mean that it won't stay that level. We need to continue to be filled with his Holy Spirit. But I believe there's a lot of us that are Philip wannabes. That we love God, and we love Jesus, and we're doing our very best. But you know, I'll take this off. This is a big problem, because I'm listening to way too many voices right now. The things I'm listening to, the things I'm watching, the things I'm entertaining. Folks, if they are not of God, they are not the voice of God. And they will teach us, and particularly our kids, they will teach our kids. I see this. I encourage you, parents, as a side note, you have every right to ask them what they're listening to. You have every right to ask them, what are you looking at? Because at the end of the day, my responsibility is before God. My kids' blood is on my hands. So I'm not speaking at you. I'm speaking with you. But I'm telling you, if the voice of God is not encouraged in your home, if the voice of God is not encouraged in how we live a consistent life, guess what? Someone else is teaching your kids, and it's not godly. And we need, and in this day and age, we need to put a stake in the ground saying, no more. God, if we've made mistakes in the past, you are faithful. You said, I will forgive you. There is no condemnation, therefore, for those who are in Christ Jesus. What we do going forward is what God is most concerned about, and he can use that. But I believe there's some of us in here that say, you know, I'm not where, if you would describe me, Philip is not one of them. And I would encourage you today to examine your heart, and you examine your heart and saying, what is it that's keeping me from being a Philip? What's keeping me from being one that can be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit to be used by God, to bring joy to Westfield, to bring joy to those in my family? And you might be also this third category, which is the Ethiopian eunuch. You may have come in here today with no hope. You may have been invited, or you may have just showed up and said, you know, I'm at my last. I want to know more about God, but anywhere I go, I've not understood what this means. And I want to speak to you just briefly and say, you can be right with God this morning. You have to understand the character of God. God loves you no matter what you do. Because if God were to stop loving us, then he's no longer God, because that is his nature, is love. But his nature is also is that he cannot look upon disobedience and say it's okay. Otherwise, he stops being God. It's like two sides of a coin. One side of the coin is love saying, you can't stop me from loving you. But at the end of the day, for me to be a good and righteous father, I'm not going to overlook the sin. And what he did 2,000 years ago, because he loved us so much, is he said, I am going to make a way. Your disobedience deserves death. My disobedience deserved death. Physical and spiritual separation from God. But he said, that pains me too much. I want to restore that relationship. And what he did is send his son, Jesus Christ, a perfect sacrifice without blemish, without sin, who endured everything that you and I go through, every emotion, every feeling, every hurt, every pain, every joy, everything you can imagine. He experienced it, but lived a sinless life, a perfect life without sin. And he went to the cross and took the punishment that we deserved. And we can be restored in relationship with Jesus Christ if we acknowledge, one, he is who he says he is. That he is Lord, he is risen, he is alive, he has conquered death. And we turn from our old way of thinking and allow him to renew our mind and say, God, I want to live for you. I want to make you both my Savior, which you gave me as a free gift, and I'm going to make you Lord, which is a decision I need to make. So as we put some music on, maybe one of the songs afterwards or maybe one of the worship songs, guys, quietly, I'd like you to just bow your heads. And we're finished here. But I don't think the Holy Spirit's finished. If you feel the need to come forward, I open up these altars. But I'm not saying you have to, because I believe that the Holy Spirit is in this place. He can meet you right where you're at. So ask yourself, am I a Philip? Am I so full of the Holy Spirit and of his wisdom that I have no doubt when I hear his voice, I act upon it? There's nothing prideful about this. If that's where you're at, praise God. I'm so happy for you, but what I ask you to do is to ask God to protect that and that you would continue to seek after, that you would not take that for granted. Two, if you ask God this morning, would you describe me like as a Philip? And if the answer is no, then I would ask you to come before God and to let him show you the things that are keeping you from hearing God's voice. Maybe it's insufficient time in the Word. Maybe it's insufficient time in his house. Maybe we have things that we are listening to or taking in that are not of God, that are competing for the voice, so it's hard to hear through that static. If that's you, then I'd ask you to, in your seats, or if you want to come forward, to examine your heart and let God and ask him to forgive you and ask him to help you and fill you with the Holy Spirit going forward. And the last call here is for those who feel like the Ethiopian eunuch. You came in here with no hope, but you do not have to leave her without hope. If you want hope and you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would be more than honored to have you come up and talk with me. Because I think that part you need to acknowledge, because if you do not come and acknowledge Christ before man, he will not acknowledge us before the Father. Everyone that Jesus Christ called, he called publicly for a reason. It's a high calling. There's no greater calling. It's an honor to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Will there be a sense of fear? Absolutely. But once you step forward, the Holy Spirit is one where there's peace. So let's just examine our hearts for just a moment. I'm going to pray, and you're welcome to stay. And when God is done with you, you're released. This is a formal release. But I encourage you, don't leave here today without allowing God and his Spirit to speak. Amen. Father God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. And Lord, it is our desire that we would have more of you in our lives. So wherever we might be, whether we're Philips and we need to remain Philips and even greater than Philip, whether we're less than a Philip, and we realize that there are other competing voices in our life and the voice of the Holy Spirit is lacking, Lord, I'd ask you help us today to examine and identify those things that would allow us to hear your voice more clearly. And Lord, if we're here with no hope, we realize that through your Son, Jesus Christ, there is hope. There is hope. So as we examine our hearts, Lord, I ask that you would bless everyone in this room. And they would take your word with them this week and allow it to change them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.